This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now is a man that I thought was down to earth, Seth Davis. But look around, he's got 15 people following around. He's got another book out. He's pushing soap on us. What the hell happened to you, man? Jeez.
Hey, it's all good, man. I haven't worked a day in my life. Boomer knows that better than anybody.
Well, I know one thing. Writing a book is a lot of work. And I saw all the stuff that you were going through putting your book together.
You saw me in my stressed author research reporter
stressed.
Stage.
You really were. But I give you a lot of credit because it's not easy tracking down all these coaches. So you wrote a book about, give the name of the book is?
The book is called Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. And the idea is we see these guys who are, you know, they're rich, they're successful, they're famous, they're the best at what they do. You know, why is it that their teams just seem to achieve a little bit more than other people's teams? And to me, Boomer, to answer that question, you got to go back from the beginning. You know, and it starts like when I'd interview these guys and say, boy, I feel like I'm in therapy. And they were. I put them in therapy because like it begins with your dad. What was your relationship with your dad? Sometimes the dad influences you by not being around at all. Sometimes he's there, but he's a hard ass. Sometimes he's there, but he's kind of emotionally distant and not connected. And then you turn to sports to look for those connections. Sometimes he's a doting, loving father. So you're always trying to please him. So these guys turn to sports at a very young age. Mm-hmm. They have these formative experiences as kids in their schools with their teachers, their coaches. And then they get on a professional path where they start to form their perceptions about leadership and how it goes. So I've got 9 coaches in the book. Each coach is a chapter. Each chapter is like 10,000 words plus. So these are real deep. That's why I was so stressed. Deep dives. So it's 6 basketball, 3 football. The basketball coaches are Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Gino Auriemma, Tom Izzo, Doc Rivers, and Brad Stevens. My football coaches are Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, Dabo Sweeney. With each guy, I had great access, lengthy conversations, multiple conversations. More important, they connected me with their wives. The 9 wives are the best interviews in the book. Their families, you know, like Jim Harbaugh connected me to John and his parents and former players. And so you take the breadth of their experiences and how do they apply it to their teams. And then you have totally disparate personalities and ways of doing it. Look at Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. He's a raving maniac. You look at Brad Stevens on the sidelines. He barely has a pulse.
No, those are unbelievable names. Is there one guy that you were shooting for you didn't get that really disappointed you?
You know what? I thought I was close with Belichick.
Yeah.
And he respectfully turned me down. Saban, I've interviewed in the past, and he got burned with some books. You mentioned the word book. People get skittish. And
right.
Then Pop. I barely even tried because I know he doesn't like
that. He doesn't like it at all.
He ain't going to be in therapy, Papa.
Talking about Seth Davis, you know, Seth, is there one common thread amongst them or a number of common threads?
It's a lot of people ask me that, Boomer, and my answer is the common thread is that there is no common thread, that there really is no one way to do this. I came up with what I call the peak profile. So look at the qualities that all great leaders need to have. Peak is P-E-A-K, so it's perception, empathy, authenticity, and knowledge. So when I talk about authenticity, there is no one right way to do it, but there is one right way for you. And finding that authenticity as you grow up and as you become a leader is hugely important because if you are inauthentic, your players will see through that instantly and they will not follow.
I want to ask you about perception. What's the perception part of it? Because sometimes I think that's very important with coaches. For example, there's a guy here, Todd Bowles, right?
Uh-huh.
So the perception of him is that he's a soft-spoken guy and he doesn't have control of the locker room and he can't speak to the media. But maybe that's different behind the scenes. So what's the perception part of that peak with those coaches you talked to?
Perseverance. Did I say perception?
Yeah,
yeah,
perception.
Yeah. All
perception.
Right.
No. All persistence.
Right. Well, never mind.
Persistence. The coffee's just kicking in. I'm sorry.
All right, so
persistence.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not persistence, perception. But persistence, you know, we think about, you know, coaches being tough and competitive. Persistence is what happens when you're alone and doubt is creeping in. How do you persist through that? Persistence is applying your craft and developing your craft over a long period of time. Like, what's the secret? The secret is there is no secret. It's doing it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, year by year, learning, developing your knowledge. You need to have technical knowledge, right? I'm sure you've played for coaches that you didn't like at all, right?
That's right.
But if you think that they have knowledge that they can give to you that's going to help you reach your individual goals.
I can respect that.
You'll do what they say. Yes. Like, I hate him, but he's right. So having that knowledge, having that persistence, and then empathy. People confuse empathy with sympathy. Sympathy is feeling badly for somebody. Empathy is when you feel what they feel. This guy, you got to go at him hard to motivate him. This guy, if you get on him, he's going to wilt. You got to put your arm around him. So understanding how your guys tick, like just one example, Mike Krzyzewski, he's 72 years old. He's got a team full of freshmen. They could win the national championship. He's getting to us with this team. Well, one of the things that he does is he makes a point to listen to their music. He wants to know what they listen to, so he listens to it. And then they hear him when he's working out or in his car. When he's speaking to them, he might make reference to one of their songs. It helps him feel young. He wants to feel what they're feeling. It's not because he's drawing up better plays than the other guys. It's because he's connecting
with them. He's connecting with them, right, exactly.
Yeah,
and he's listening to their music.
He's giving himself a headache. Stay the same age.
And he's giving himself a headache. That's why I look at it. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You have those nine guys. I would always wonder, like, a guy that – loves coaching so much, but maybe hasn't won as much as these guys, but still is driven to coach and to teach. You know, I talked to my college roommate, Frank Reich. I think the one thing he loves about coaching the most, and now he's the head coach of the Colts, was the ability to teach young men, to teach them a sport, but not only a sport, but also the responsibility of the sport. You know what I'm saying?
No question. And, you know, it's that connection. Look, we can be cynical about coaching, and it's a business, and you know it's cutthroat. We all understand that. And that's why I talk about going back to the dad. Like, whether it was a dad or a coach, most of the coaches, you know, like Harbaugh and Rivers, Doc Rivers, were professional athletes. But most of the coaches, certainly in college basketball that I deal with, were not high-level athletes because their bodies couldn't get them theirs. But they're competitive freaks. Somewhere along the line, they had a coach or a teacher or a mentor. Like in Gino Auriemma's case, I talked about all the nuns in the Catholic school that he grew up with, you know, how he formed an idea of feminine strength, that now he saw women as strong people that he could coach like men when other people were maybe not doing that. And so it's that connection that you feel with your players, that you are influencing them in a way and impacting them in a way that is truly meaningful. And really, if it were about the money, if it were about purely about wins and losses, it wouldn't work. Like, at a certain point, your players have to really believe that you care for their well-being and their welfare. And at the college level, I do think that connection is a lot more special.
Because the players want to listen.
The players want to they're at an age where they're literally still physically growing. You know, it's a formative year. Those are the formative years.
So we're talking to Seth Davis. So there's a new manager for both the Yankees and for the Mets.
Okay.
For the Yankees, you have a guy who's never managed before. He's coming right out of the booth, and that's Aaron Boone, turned 45 years old today. He's got to manage a team that has enormous expectations. And then for the Mets, you have a guy by the name of Mickey Callaway. I'm not sure if you know who he is.
I don't.
Well, he was a pitching coach for the Indians. And he came here, and he had one of the most bizarre
opening press conference
that I have ever heard in my life, because I'm old school, right? I come from the school where, you treat me tough, I'm going to react to it. I'm going to be okay with it. I'll be okay with the discipline and all that other stuff. But he was talking about how he's going to love his players and how his players have never been loved like this before. And I'm thinking to myself, is this the new world that we're going into with coaching and coaching this generation of player?
Well, I would say it depends on your players. Well, first of all, adaptability is key. When you talk about a Krzyzewski, a Boeheim, a Tom Izzo, Gino, you know, again, they're getting older, but their players are staying the same. I wrote about this a lot in my John Wooden book. I mean, here's a guy who coached across multiple generations. He went from...
Oh, he's got the best players, too.
Yeah, well, by the way, let's establish that. Like, any coach will tell you that, you know, having the best players is by far the most important thing to winning.
Just get me Lou Alcindor out of Power Memorial. Right. I don't care how you get him. Just get him out here.
Right, I don't necessarily think of winning championships as getting to us. You can get to us and not be winning at a high level because you're helping your team reach its potential. But my answer to your question about love is, if that's what works with the players in his locker room, then by all means. But I think whether you come in with I'm going to love you or I'm going to crack you in the skull, if you come in with premeditated notions and that doesn't fit your players.
Well, that's where you lose your authenticity.
And the empathy too. Like, right. I got to know my guys. So I would caution anybody, make sure you have an open mind and take the time to get to know your guys and figure out what
you're doing. Did you bring me a copy of the book, by the way?
Do we have anybody bring a book?
That's really nice. Penguin Press.
Yes,
is in this building.
Yeah, that's right in this building.
It's in this building.
Okay.
I will get you guys.
You better
get
all right. So let's, we're talking to Seth Davis. Let's talk to.
I mean, you could break out the credit card too.
Well, look, this is going to be a great Father's Day gift.
Yes.
Is it not going to be a great Father's Day gift? It'll be great.
No, without a doubt.
So possible Father's Day.
College basketball selection Sunday. We've talked so much about the negative side of things. We're going to get into the positive side of things with the brackets. But where do you feel like you've been covering this sport for a long time? You see all these stories, Sean Miller and everything that's going, Rick Pitino. Do you feel like the sport is in a horrible enough place, to the lack of a better term, that we're going to see sweeping changes and it's never going to be the same? Or is this another bump in the road and we're just going to, once that tournament starts, we don't care?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I think you said something very important, and that's that the sad truth is that oftentimes, if not most times, if not almost all the time, it does take a crisis to spur meaningful change. And people look at Mark Emmert, at the head of the NCAA, like they look at a Roger Goodell or an Adam Silver. It's not the same. He has no power. He literally has no power. The university president at a Division III school that you've never heard of has more legislative power than Mark Emmert. So you have all these disparate universities and conferences and conferences, all these little fiefdoms. And so everybody knows that for a long time there's been issues with – obviously, agents are to college basketball what steroids are to baseball. So we know that this has been going on for a long time, but there's never been enough reason to have meaningful change. I am hopeful that out of this crisis there will be some meaningful change. Emmert has put together this commission on college basketball. They say they're going to come up with bold proposals. Now, their definition of bold and ours probably going to be different. But I do think they're going to open up the agent space. That's the most important thing, to have, you know, real – professionalized relationships between high school kids and college kids and agents, maybe some financial transactions in the form of loans and all that. There's a lot of that that needs to be opened up. And he's intent on fast-tracking this so it's in place by next fall. So modernizing the amateur model is what really needs to happen. It's not going to be the wild, wild west where everybody can get paid whatever they want. And the schools are not going to pay these kids like they are professionals. Because if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you just get some quarterback 32 years old from the CFL and come be your quarterback? So they're not going to do that. But I do think there is going to be meaningful change. And to your final point, with the tournament starting next week, and I'm not being Pollyannish, pie in the sky, I understand the challenges that we're facing. The games are so good, and the tournament is so good. The fan experience around the tournament, you don't have to be a huge college basketball fan to love the NCAA tournament. Everybody is in. And I am sensing and doing all these interviews and talking to people, with the tournament coming up, it's almost like there's even more of a craving. I just want to watch the games. I just want to be a fan and have that fan experience of what it feels like when you're young and your dad takes you to a game, and now you're taking your kids to a game, and everybody's got a bracket and everybody's talking about what's what. So I'm hopeful that the tournament is going to be a salve, barring more information coming out. You're always kind of bracing, you know.
When I wake up
in the morning and I turn on my phone, I'm like, what's going to be there? But I honestly sense that fans love this tournament and they are craving this tournament, and that they want the tournament to be a salve for all of these, you know, headlines.
So Seth Davis, CBS, college basketball analyst, also a writer, a very good one at that.
Thank you.
Sunday is going to change now because it's going to be on TBS 6 o'clock.
Right.
Not CBS anymore. It's TBS this year. And there's going to be a different way of doing it this year, that you guys are going to unveil all the teams that are in, and then you'll put them in their brackets.
Right.
Do you like the way they're doing this?
You know, listen, I'm open-minded to it. I mean, I think
that's
people,
a no.
Let's see how it works. I mean, look, it's going to be on TBS. That's different. We're going to have a live studio audience, which I think is great. It is going to be 2 hours, but we're not stretching it out over 2 hours. You're still going to get the teams and the information at the same period of time. You know, it's funny. You know, a couple of years ago when they made it 2 hours and they tried to draw it out, we got criticized for taking too long.
Yeah.
And now people are saying, oh, you know, you're not keeping us in suspense enough. So it looks, people want to see the brackets. They want to see the matchups. It's just taking at the beginning of the show, here's who's in, here's who's out. And we'll go to the bracket. You know, there's nothing says they have to do with this every year from now on. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Who's going to be the most disappointed team, you think, that they didn't make it in?
Well, there are a couple that come to mind. I mean, I think that Syracuse and Notre Dame, having just lost in the ACC tournament, Notre Dame's trying to make the argument, you know, they have their best player, is really an All-America caliber player, Bonzi Colson, was gone for most of the season. But they lost a couple of games that weren't great losses with him. I'm sure they would have been good enough to be in the tournament if he didn't get hurt. So now he's back for the end. He played pretty well, but they didn't win enough games. I think they're probably not in. You know, at the mid-major level, Middle Tennessee is going to be a big point of conversation because they actually got ranked at the end of the year. But if you look at their wins, they don't have nearly the quality wins because they don't have those opportunities.
Sure.
But then they lose in the first round of the Conference USA tournament to Southern Miss, who was the 9 seed. And I'm like, well, if they're that good, why are they losing to a 9 seed in Conference USA? I hope they get in. I think they will get in. The last one that comes to mind, Arizona State. They end up 3 games under 500 in the Pac-12. Bob Hurley. They have wins over Xavier and Kansas, who are 2 1-seeds away from home. They were the last undefeated team. They were ranked 3rd in the country on Christmas Day.
What happened?
It's going to be a long wait. I think they got into the league, and I think they got scouted, and I think a lot of their flaws came to the fore defensively. They don't have a lot of size. Look, when you're dependent on making shots, it's a scary place to be, especially in the tournament.
Has Hurley gotten them to the tournament yet or no?
No.
This would be the first time. This is his third year there?
I think it's his third year there.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, coming from Buffalo. His old Buffalo team, by the way, is really good. That's a good mid-major team if they win their conference tournament.
And before we get you out of here, we have to talk about Dove.
Definitely I
know
Dove.
Dove Men Plus Care and DoveMenCare.com/NCAA, the Real Strength Manifesto. So tell us what you're doing with
them. This is very cool. And I'm talking about the fan experience. So Dove arranges for me to talk to some great athletes, Shane Battier, David Robinson, Trey Burke, Doug McDermott, Danny Manning. Talk to them about their own fan experiences and put together what we call this manifesto, this Dove Men's Strength Manifesto, celebrating the fan experience. So if you go to DoveMenCare.com/NCAA, you can see what we came up with. And it's a way to celebrate the fan experience with the tournament coming up. And for me to interview these guys and talk to them about not only their experience as fans, but then what it's like to be an athlete and how you feed off the energy of the crowd or how you develop relationships with certain fans who keep coming to the games. And to know that you go from, you know, being a kid growing up and you have posters on the wall, like I had a Boomer Esiason poster
on my
wall.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then you become the guy in the poster and that fan experience. So it's a Dove Men's Strength Manifesto. DoveMenCare.com/NCAA.
All right, man. Well, good luck with the book. Good luck
Thanks,
on Sunday.
I really
we'll watch
you
on Sunday. Thanks for coming in
I
here and bringing it all
down. I'll
get
you freebies.
Please. Thanks.
That's the least you could have done here. I mean, we didn't even get like a bottle of Dove Men Plus Care or whatever.
right.
I mean, we have that too.
I want to get right. It's the Real Strength Manifesto.
All right. And
Real Strength Manifesto.
And you didn't even bring any soap in with you either.
That really sucks too. I mean, come on.
You smell great.
I know I do. Thank you. So stay here. We got to take a picture.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.